Good morning, church. Good morning and welcome to worship at the Vines on this yet another cold and miserable looking morning. I think winter's been going for at least 6 months. But you are all here and that is wonderful. And to those at home sitting with their hot chocolate beside the fire, welcome to you as well. And we are all here to worship our great God, the one who sustains us, who walks with us. This morning will be a little different, flurry of phone calls, and Reverend Ian Kitto is not well this morning, and he decided he would not risk it by coming and sharing his miserableness, so David Mack has agreed to step into his place this morning and will be using Ian's sermon. And so thank you, David. And there won't be a children's talk either. But hey, we're here, we're in communion together and with our Lord God, and that is a wonderful thing. So let's stand. Let's ascribe greatness to our God, the rock of our lives, the rock of this world. Let's stand and worship.
In your holy presence.
you this morning. Whether at home or here, you have drawn us to meet with you. And we thank you that you're interested. We thank you that we're not just another speck of sand upon the sea. Lord, that you are interested in every aspect of our lives. Not only the dark bits, but the joys as well. And Lord, we know we're not worthy of this kind of attention, this kind of love and grace. And yet you have forgiven us. We who have come to you have your forgiveness and your love. And Lord, we know you continue and will continue to walk with us. And we thank you. We ask that you help us to set aside our hardness this morning, our barriers, and open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to you, that we may hear your voice, know your presence. This we pray.
A few notices that are in the grapevine. The children's event is on this coming week on Thursday from 9:30 to 11:30. You can book online for that via the Vines website. It's there. And you can bring your grandchildren. Chris and I are bringing three of our grandies, so hopefully they'll have a good time on Thursday. Highlight the request from Playford Uniting Church that is simply an opportunity for us to give to another part of the body of Christ. Purely voluntary, you don't have to, but if you're able to, we'll take up that offering next week. And next week, David's son Isaac will be here to preach and share with us, and presumably he might tell us a little bit more about his dad. I did see David again on Friday, And in Isaac's word, he's just making little steps, little steps, little steps. But he did smile at me again on Friday. He's able to close his eyes again, which he wasn't able to do earlier in the piece. And so, in one moment, although he can't speak as such, not audibly at least, in response to a question I asked him, he used the word calm. As I asked him if he was feeling at peace with God, and so he has that sense of calmness. So it's going to be, well, I'd love to see a miracle happen. We'd all love to see a miracle happen and healing come quickly. That may not be so. Why that is so, we don't know. But God is at work in David's life as much as he was when David was well, and will continue to be so. So can I encourage us all to continue to pray for David? Thanks.
The offering will come forward in this psalm, at this song. It is difficult to know how to react when David has been so unwell for so long, and it's hard to know how long it's going to be, and it's going to be a while. We need to encourage one another to hang on and remember that our God is great, our God is good, and he is so big we can't possibly know his mind. And that's why we trust. We trust because if we knew everything, we'd be God, wouldn't we? He can see the whole picture, so we must encourage one another to hang in there and trust that he knows what he's doing. He's with David. Let's worship him some more. I think we might need to stand for this one, even though it is the offering hymn. Let's stand. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you for your constant presence. We thank you that the feeble body of David is being lifted gently in your hands as we have just sung. We thank you that we are provided for, that we do not have soldiers marching in our streets. We do not have fear of violence day after day, fear of hunger. For all that you have provided, Lord, we offer you this morning some of that in return. And we offer ourselves our hands and feet, our tongues. May we be your ambassadors. May we put to good use those things that you have provided for us, both physical, spiritual, mental, and health-wise. All for you we pray. In Jesus' name, his precious name. Amen.
Good morning, all. This is the time we pray for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for rain. We thank you that we're reasonably dry, and we also remember those people who are affected by the rain and the floods. Give them safety and time to recover. We think of those people in other countries. We think of our country, Australia, especially that we have peace. We think of those other countries such as the Middle East, Africa, the Ukraine, and other places where there is unrest. Grant them peace. We pray for our minister, David Pryor, as he heals in the hospital. We pray for his continued healing. We pray for his family also. Give them peace. Let us pray for those who are bereaved, unwell, unemployed, suffering from the strains of the economy. Lord, we also think of ourselves and those who are going through unrest, turmoil, mental uncomfortableness. Lord, bring your healing upon their minds and their bodies. Let us pray for the leaders of our country, of our state, our Premier. Give them all wisdom so that they may go about their daily chores as if they really know what they're doing. We pray for our leaders of our church and other churches. Lord, we think of those people at the moment who just don't have any food, especially at this time during school holidays that have just started. We think of our school chaplains and the teachers in the schools, what they have to put up with. We think of our chaplains who are tied up by red tape, not allowed to say what they would like to say and use the name of Jesus. Lord, give them the strength and the power to do their jobs. We pray for the Vines Church, its leaders team, and those who are travelling at this time. We pray for them. Father, we take this time to pray in silence for those that we probably haven't mentioned, and for those in our hearts. Let us pray together as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today is from Genesis 50, verses 15 to 21. Joseph forgives his brothers. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning again, everyone. You don't have to pretend that I'm Ian, but I am Ian this morning. Ian phoned me earlier, you know, about 7:45, and I thought, why is Ian phoning me at 7:45 on a Sunday morning? But he's unwell, as you've heard. And this is the message that Ian has prepared for us today. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our ears and our eyes and our spirits, that we may hear your word for us today. Amen. There's a couple of little anecdotes, personal anecdotes of Ian's in this message, and this is the first one of them. He says this: "Some years ago, when I was visiting the Moonta Mines Museum with my children and my parents, after the visit I was waiting out the front as my son and my father, both named Stuart, walked towards us. It struck me how similar they were in their walking actions, and I wondered out loud, where did young Stuart learn to walk like his grandpa? And the rest of my family looked at me and said, oh, duh. Even something as apparently innocent as how we walk can be passed from generation to generation without us being aware of it. In fact, much of our human characteristics are passed from generation to generation, even if we are not aware of it. It is like an iceberg. 90% of the ice is underwater, invisible to us, and that is where the danger lies, hidden beneath the surface. In the same way, much of the emotional baggage that we carry with us is hidden beneath the surface, and we are not aware of the danger that it poses for us. If we are to live an emotionally healthy life, if we are to have a healthy spirituality, we need to be aware of the impact the past has on us now. We have to break the power of the past in order to go forward, in order to live joyfully and healthily in the present. This can be summed up in two essential biblical truths. Firstly, the blessings and sins of our families going back several generations profoundly impact who we are today. For example, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, and Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 to 7. Secondly, discipleship requires putting off the sinful patterns of our family of origin and learning how to do life God's way in God's family. Like it or not, our families are the most powerful group to which we will ever belong. What happens in one generation often repeats itself in the next. Anybody attest to that? I can. There is debate over whether this is a result of nature or DNA, or nurture, our environment, or both. However, as Peter Scazzaro writes, regardless of our culture, country of origin, education, social class, or age, the early messages and scripts we took in from our histories powerfully influence our present relationships and behaviours, as well as our self-esteem. Examples of generational sins include addictions, some diseases, even poverty. Whether we think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, as related in the book of Genesis, or the Kitto family, from Dick to Stuart, Ian, Stuart, and Calvin, we can observe how sins and blessings are passed from generation to generation. Consider your attributes and behaviour patterns related to things like money, conflict, sex. These are often unspoken but imprinted into us very strongly. For example, money. Make lots of it to prove you have made it. Conflict. Avoid it at all costs. Who loves conflict? Sex, not to be spoken about openly. Grief, sadness is a sign of weakness. Anger, it's dangerous and bad. Relationships, don't trust people, they will only let you down. Success is making lots of money. Feelings and emotions. You are not allowed to have certain feelings, or your feelings are not important. And as was said last Sunday, we need to own all our feelings if we are to have a healthy spirituality. A common deadly attitude is, you must achieve to be loved. Yet for many of us, it never seems like enough, and we consistently feel inferior. Few of us know the experience of being loved for being just who we are, the way Jesus loves us. And so we continue to follow the commandments and rules we internalized in our families of origin. But what if these are contrary to the expectations and behaviours that Jesus expects of us? So we have to look back at the past to make sense of the present. But it is painful. The good news of Christianity is that our biological family of origin does not determine our future. God does. Now, this isn't in the script, but I'm going to read that again. The good news of Christianity is that our biological family of origin does not determine our future. God does. In the ancient world of Jesus, It was important to honour one's father and mother. Yet Jesus called people to a first loyalty to himself over their biological families, saying, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Discipleship is the putting off of the sinful patterns and habits of our biological families and being transformed to live as members of Christ's family. We honour our parents and histories, but we obey God. So we have to do the hard work, underscore hard work, of reflecting on the impact of our family of origin and the major earthquake events of our histories. As Winston Churchill said in 1948, those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Here's another anecdote from Ian. For me, success is measured by achievement and results. It is better to get distinctions than credits or passes, and failure is not an option. So I was devastated when I failed intermediate woodwork, which I did in secondary year of high school. For my son Stuart, success is to be a school principal by the time he is 40. And in fact, he made it before he was 34. Great achievement. Some of us in this room have been through traumas. A trauma is a startling experience in your life that has a lasting effect on your mental health. It might be a car crash or health scare, a flood or a cyclone, a death of a child, parent or spouse, a rape or other abuse. We would also call these traumas earthquake events. For me, Ian, an earthquake event was accidentally burning down Dad's shearing shed when I was 11. Sorry, Ian, I can't help smiling at that. And after that, I never wanted to let my parents down again, or my children. And the pain of that, and being constantly told that big boys don't cry, meant that I've been emotionally stunted and hide my real feelings for fear of offending people. And maybe some of you, some of us, are like that too. Consider Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. There was a history of sibling rivalry and favoritism through these multiple generations from Abraham to Joseph. There were earthquake events in Joseph's life, such as his betrayal by his brother, his loss of country, family, culture, and that at the age of 17, and his decade or more of unjust imprisonment. The reality is that all families are broken and fallen. None of us comes from perfect families with perfect parents. Most parents did the best with what they brought with them into adulthood, and some of the things that hurt us, such as criticism and rejection, are the result of what was handed to them by their families of origin, rather than a reflection on us or their love for us. Because we are afraid to bring secrets and sins into the light, we may try not to think about it. However, unhealed wounds open us up to continuing sin against God and against others. If we ignore truth out of fear, we end up like Miss Havisham from Charles Dickens' novel Great Expectations. When she received a letter on her wedding day at 8:40 a.m., that her husband-to-be was not coming, she stopped all clocks in the house at the precise time the letter arrived and spent the rest of her life in her bridal dress wearing only one shoe. Even as an old lady, she remained crippled under the weight of that crushing blow. She decided to live in her past, not her present or future. The last quarter of Genesis is mostly about Joseph. After his brothers sold him as a slave, he could have become bitter and angry and continued to harbor resentment. Decades later, when he was second in charge of Egypt and his brothers came seeking food in a drought, he could have refused to help them. He could have destroyed them in anger, yet he chose to live by a different rule. So as Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." This is one of the things we can learn from this. What is the good God intends for us? What does the good God intend for us? We can all ask that question. Even when all this bad stuff is happening to Joseph, he knows that God is good. God put him in his family because God is weaving a mysterious purpose so Joseph can be a blessing. Again, Joseph can't analyze it or figure it all out, but he knows God. What sets Joseph apart is his relationship with the living God. He knows that Jeremiah 29:11 is true. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God says that is true. He knows the truth of Romans 8:28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Joseph had the time to contemplate and ponder and reflect on the faithfulness of God, as well as to consider what his brothers had done to him and whether being his father's favorite son was such a good thing. Here's the great mystery. God holds people responsible for their actions. At the same time, God is sovereign over all of history. All of history. They're both true. God does not endorse evil by any means, but sometimes the evil plans of people unwittingly become the ways God's purposes are furthered. Our purpose in going back is to discern the good purposes of God for us. What can we learn from our past in order to do God's will for the present? In 1954, Roger Bannister was the first person to break the 4-minute mile. It was considered the greatest athletic achievement in the 20th century because it was said breaking the 4-minute mile couldn't be done. Everyone believed that a human being could not run a mile in less than 4 minutes. After breaking the record, Roger Bannister described his experience like this. He said, "My legs seemed to meet no resistance at all. I was propelled by some unknown force." Isn't that amazing? Of course, he worked very hard to get to that moment, but he also recognized that there was something more involved as well. Joseph had many, many years pondering all this stuff with God, years in prison, away from his family, and then later, Joseph breaks free and he becomes a blessing to the nations. The good news is that we can go back in order to go forward. The more we know about our families, the more we know about ourselves, and the more freedom we have to choose what we keep and what we leave behind. So here are three steps that can help us break the hold that the past has on us. Be confident of our faith in Jesus and his teachings to guide us towards good things. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not the result of your good works." Number 2, identify the family pattern of behavior and the common beliefs. Sometimes these multi-generational cycles take the form of observable actions and easily identifiable beliefs. This can be uncomfortable. Number 3, take steps to heal from the toxic patterns. Sometimes that means getting counseling. It will also involve defining your new priorities and possibly setting boundaries with your family. I want to encourage you this morning that if you'll do the hard work of going back to go forward, you will break through with God's help. You'll say, "I don't know how I got here, but God will bring you through." And as a result, you'll be free and you'll be a blessing to many people. Now, Ian has a prayer for us at this point, but before I read that, I just invite us to spend a moment with our eyes closed and in silence. And if Ian's message brings to mind for you, for me, for any of us, something that clearly is holding you back, something from the past, and you can identify that, I invite you to, in your mind, take hold of it in one hand and then just simply hold that hand out and drop it. Let it go. Be free. And so we pray. Loving and gracious God, we pray that you will help us to stop and reflect on our extended families. Through your Holy Spirit, help us to be aware of those circumstances and characteristics that have molded us into the people we are. Help us to now make a choice as to which of those characteristics we can leave behind with your help and choose a different way for our life's journey. Help us to forgive those who have sinned against us and to live with joy and freedom to fulfill the plans you have for us. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Thank you, David. Plenty for us to think about. And above all that, or even below and holding up all that, is the great faithfulness of our Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's conclude with that great hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, he who walks with us constantly. Let's stand.
as we step out from here this morning and into the week ahead, may those words permeate our lives. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and every day. Amen. Go in peace.